Welcome back to Up the Villa podcast for our predicted lineup for Aston Villa v Tottenham Hotspur. Joined by Ryan, how are you, mate?
Very well, my friend. Very, very well.
We should call you Tactics McEwen now, shouldn't we, really?
I've banged out a few threads. Quite enjoying banging out threads on Twitter. They've gone down quite well. So no one's called me out on it. So I must be doing something right.
Yeah, well, I think you know what you're on about, to be fair. So let's go then. How are you feeling about Spurs at home? Big game, big game.
It's a tasty game, mate. It's a tasty one. And you know, mate, as always, Villa Park, got to always look forward to going down there, no matter what form you're in. And the games are dwindling down, aren't they, mate? We've only got a couple left at home and I've just been trying to cram as many as I can. You know, I have like Villa Women, I've been to the under-18s Cup Final, went United away, Wolves away, so just trying to cram it all in before that summer of dryness. But we've got three meaningful games now, mate, and you know, it's come down to the business end and we're in the mix. And we've sort of like reversed the Randy Lerner song. Remember that Randy Lerner out song where it was like from European nights to relegation fights? We've sort of like reversed it a bit. We've gone from relegation fights now to European fights. And don't get me wrong, these three games, I was looking at them pre-World Cup. And I was thinking, I hope we're safe because these are three tough games and I wouldn't fancy trying to get anything from them for the last three games. And now, the position we found ourselves in now, we're fighting for a European place in these three games. So it's exciting. It is exciting. The Wolves result and the United result, and you could probably roll it back to the Brentford as well, has slightly punctured our momentum. I feel like we've stagnated just a little bit and we just got to get that clinical edge back. We sort of lost that, haven't we, the last few games? Just, you know, when we're getting them chances, putting them away, you know, we missed two glorious chances against Wolves that three or four games ago, they were flying in the back of the net and we was picking up wins and coming away from grounds with 3 points. So we just got to rediscover that cutting edge that we had. And I back us for this game. So looking forward to it. And when they say it's a must win, it's a must win, isn't it, mate? It's a must win. So, our mate Stato today on Twitter, don't know, 7 games in a row, Tottenham have beat us at home.
Oh, God.
Scoring at least 2 goals on each occasion. So it's a huge game and it's a run of results we've got to put to bed. We know Emery likes to put these type of records to bed. So under no illusions, regardless of Spurs' managerial situation, the squad situation, it's a tough fixture. It's a tough fixture and we're going to have to be bang up for it. And we're going to try and predict a lineup to get them 3 points, aren't we?
Well, to be fair, he's had his hair cut as well, hasn't he, Unai? So I think he means business, don't he? It's a bit like Haaland when he took his headband, he took his pony out and his locks were going. Unai's got rid of it all, slimmed it, trimmed it down. And he's going for it now. So
did you not get the call to get your scissors out, mate?
No, mate, no. I've been too busy doing this.
What are you giving his hair out of a rating out of 10, mate? Could you have done it better? I reckon you could, mate.
If I'm being honest, my honest vibe was with Emery. I don't think he'd found the right hairdresser. That's my vibe. Because he came with it looking trim. Then he grew it out and it was all bulky and like curly and that at the back. And I was thinking, there's no shape in that. No shape in that whatsoever. And then now he's had a trim. I think he's either gone back home for a couple of days or someone's come along that knows what they're doing. So, it does look better, to be fair. Now I'd give it like an 8 out of 10. I think it looks pretty good now. So There we go. So, right, let's have a look at how Villa average position against Wolves. And I think we'll touch on Carlos's position and when Carlos came in, because I know me and you, we have been chatting about this sort of behind the scenes a little bit. And we've been thinking that there's going to come a point where I feel like Emery does evolve these tactics slightly. And you know, we're now seeing in the Premier League, and I've said it a couple of times, hybrid fullbacks. You've got John Stones going into midfield. You've got Trent Alexander going into midfield. You've got Brighton playing that reverse 4-4-2. So I think this fullback position is now, if you are tactically astute enough, you can play this role with this moving around the fullback. So we noticed that at the Wolves game that when Carlos came on, we had a little bit of a different vibe. So what are you thinking?
Yeah, I think when he come on, I think we was all expecting a back three. But the research we did prior to, well, when Emery got announced and we looked into how he plays at Villarreal, it isn't, is it? It's that right back is a hybrid position. It's a cross between being in a back three in a defensive situation. In an attacking situation, it's more of a back three where we build from the back. And really, Bailey there in that position becomes your sort of wing back, and Moreno turns into a wing back. But then when we are defending, it sort of drops back into a tight back four with Moreno dropping back and Ramsey sort of dropping into where Moreno is to create that defensive structure. And against Wolves, we've seen Carlos come on, and it's something we've said quite a lot on the pod, that when he is back, we might see Konsa move out to right back. And you just got all the strengths that Carlos was sort of highlighting before he got injured, and what he was doing at Seville. And it just suits that back line. The way Mings and Konsa have evolved this season under Emery. Look, Konsa has been absolutely superb. It looked like his Villa career was sort of stagnating. It looked like he was going to be the full guy. You know, he's made 34 appearances out of 35 games this season. The only game he didn't start was the Everton game where Carlos got injured right at the death, and he's only just returned. So for Konsa, it did look like his Villa career was sort of going down the pan, didn't it? He sort of looked like he was going to be the one that would probably play second fiddle all season and probably move on this summer. But, you know, for him, if this was an audition to Emery to say, look, I've still got a future at this club, then he's passed with flying colours, in my opinion. And it's not a case of, okay, Carlos is back, move over Konsa, because Konsa well deserves his place in this team. And I think that right-back position is well-suited because he offers that defensive solidity that we're after. We're not after a wing-back now. We're not after someone that will get up the line and support Bailey. You've seen Matty Cash and how his position evolved under Emery before his injury. You know, under Dino, under Gerrard, he was bombing up that wing. He was being the winger. And then under Emery, you only seen it once against Crystal Palace this season. The rest was very reserved. He sort of sat into that back three. So I think naturally Carlos coming back now, I think we will sort of evolve into that back three now, where Carlos will come in and Konsa will go right back, and we will get to utilise the strengths of Carlos, especially playing out from the back.
Definitely. So we saw that against Wolves, didn't we? You know, those two long raking passes that he did effortlessly. You know, that they were great balls. So if we have a little look at Spurs and how we expect them to line up, their average positions looks a little bit like this for the Palace game. I know I said in the match preview that I don't expect their system to change one bit. I think this will be literally how they play. You know, Bentancur's been a massive miss for them in the middle of the park. And we've seen what happened to them when they went four at the back against Newcastle. So, you know, I see, when I look at this, I see big gaps. I see areas where naturally Villa can exploit. And I know on your thread, you did a really interesting piece and you did us a real cool graphic and you merged the two together. So as you can see, Villa's is in the blue and Spurs is in the purple and they're matching up together. So Ryan, do you want to like add anything and talk about this?
Yeah, it was off after the Man City game last night, which was a cracking game, by the way, off topic. But then it got me back to thinking about Villa and the game and Spurs' strengths and weaknesses. And I thought, is there a way of merging this together? It looks an absolute spaghetti. It looks a mess. There's names upside down. But you can sort of gauge from the average positions where Tottenham could be dangerous against us. And I was looking at, obviously, Harry Kane and his position. And then you sort of had Son to the left there. And that's what got me thinking about Carlos and where Carlos can sit in. And I just think they look very strong down that left-hand side. They look very strong down the right, but we'll talk about that in a minute. But down that right-hand side where we can put Konsa in and Carlos, I just think that just gives us that defensive structure to deal with Spurs, because that attack, right, regardless of whatever form they're in, it's potent. They only need a sniff. Harry Kane is world-class. He's world-class, isn't he? Season on season. I think the goal he scored at the weekend, the winner, that took him to the second most highest Premier League goal scorer of all time. So he's hunting down Shearer's record. Son, yes, his form's not been great the past few months, but he is starting to show signs of life coming into the end of the season. And Richarlison, again, new lease of life. He didn't get a sniff under the last manager coming in for big money. And he's starting now, isn't he? And that line is dangerous. And we've seen it. We've seen it last season when they absolutely ripped us 4-0. So I think Carlos coming in there really like nullifies that a bit and just gives us a bit more defensive solidity in that back line.
Yeah, I agree. And I think like you say, I think the thing for Spurs is, you know, you've got to be switched on for like 90 plus, haven't you? Because Son can just tear it at will. Kane, he just needs one chance, doesn't he? And he can bury anything. But I think it's sort of, I think we can catch them cold, I think, because of our work rate and our endeavour and our willingness to really want to get this victory. I think that can play a really big part in it. So let's move it. Do you want to add anything before?
Yeah, just a second before we go. You're saying like a willingness to win this game. Now, I see a position there, which to me, between the two managers will be whoever's brave enough to attack this position. I'm looking at Porro and Moreno. Now, if we go Luka Dean, because obviously he's coming back into the fold, isn't he? He's replaced Moreno for the last four games. Just to nullify that threat of Porro, who is crossing in the last game was like pinpoint. He was excellent. So that's like a dangerous position to me. Now, do you nullify it with Luka Dean, or do you try and force, I think you said it in the match preview, don't you, force Porro back and let Moreno go for it? So that would be very interesting to see how both managers deal with that situation there on the left.
I think he's going to go. I think he'll go attacking, won't he? I think.
You'd think so at home. You'd think so at home.
So this is how we sort of have been setting up average position wise. So I think we can both agree on who's going to be in goal. So we'll go Martinez in goal. Go on then. You talk us through the back line then. What are you going with?
Okay, let's start on the left-hand side of the back. I'll give it away, the back three.
Yeah.
So we'll go Tyro Mings. We'll go Tyro Mings.
Yeah.
And then we're going to go Carlos.
He's coming back, isn't he?
He's got to come back. I think what he offers us for this game, not just because he come back against Wolves and you want to see him in action, I think he really offers something for this game. You know, just touched on that left-hand side for Moreno and the diagonal balls were like razor sharp, weren't they? They were like laser beams, so pinpoints. I'm just thinking that left-hand side is just prime. It's just prime for Carlos just to pepper it. You know what I mean?
That's what I mean. Like, I can just imagine Dougie Luiz has won the ball back, It's gone back to Mings, straight to Carlos. Porro's come forward, straight over the top behind you. Moreno's bombing on. Crosses it first on Watkins. There we go. That's how the first goal is going to happen. Yes, Villa fans.
That's what we're calling. That is what we're calling. So then just to tighten that up.
If that happens, by the way, I don't know. Mate, shirts off in the hot end.
get it on the bet builder. Put it on it. And then, yes, we'll go Konsa. Just to tighten that up, give a bit of support against, like we said, against Son and Spurs' front line.
Cool. And then I think we'll go Moreno then. I think Moreno. I mean, there might be some fans that are saying, oh, Carlos might not be ready. It's too much too soon. I think the first hurdle and the biggest thing for him to overcome was like having like a 20-minute spell and being on a football pitch competitively in the Premier League. And I think that hurdle has been done now. So I think you could see how happy he was after the game and stuff. So I think he comes in. I really do think he comes in.
Yeah, the thing is, Luke, he's been on the bench since that Man City defeat, hasn't he? So he's, he's been first team training all the way through this 10-game run, the last four. So for the last like 14 odd games, he's been on the bench and he's been first team training. So for me, he looked ready. He looked like he belonged back on the pitch. And he was up against Diego Carlos and you see him off the ball. He's a right little scruff, and he's a right little nuisance. He's always giving you a little dig and that and kicking at your heels. And he dealt with that fine. So, he's more than ready, I think. He's more than ready.
Yeah. So in the double pivot is my player of the season, Dougie Luiz. Who was yours, Ryan?
Yes, I'll back you up all the way on that one, mate. He's like, I'm 40 years old. I shouldn't really have favourite Villa players, but, he is my favourite, to be fair. I've loved him all season. I've always really wanted him to do well. And when Emery got appointed, straight away I wrote a piece about the double pivot and how this would really, really bring out the best in Dougie Luiz. And like you say, he sponged all that information up, took it on board, and he looks like a world-class centre midfielder, doesn't he?
He does, yeah. Every bit of one. So he's had a fantastic season. So I've already put in a couple more and I'm left with three. And I can imagine that this is the three that would, if you got every Villa fan to do their lineup for this game, they're all going to look completely different, I think. So I think context of central midfield is, and these are my thoughts, is if he goes for a safe option, I think he puts McGinn next to Luiz because he didn't play Dendonka against Wolves. So my thinking is if Dendonka didn't play in the double pivot against Wolves, I can't see him playing there against Spurs. That would leave McGinn. But I would love to see Kamara back, but I don't know where he is, whether he's ready or not. So I'll hand it to you, Ryan, and you can pick.
Yes, also, I would like to see the French Mastro back in that midfield. He has been superb when fit this season. He's been an absolute joy to watch, and he's a top player, and you want top players in these big cup finals. So if fit and ready, I think Kamara comes in. There is that nervousness after what happened at Chelsea and him picking up an injury or not coming back ready. And we lost him for, what was it, five, six games. So there is that nervousness, but I'd love to see him on the pitch. Failing that, I think I'd rather have the presence of Dendonka, I think, up against Højbjerg. You need someone to physically mix it with him because he likes to break forward and support that front line. He's got an eye for a goal as well. So just someone just to match up against him. And I think his attributes out of the rest of the midfield is more suited to it. I'd rather have McGinn in a more attacking area than him trying to match Højbjerg or stop Højbjerg. I want to take that responsibility off McGinn now, which will lead me to that next position you're about to fill in, Luke.
Hold on, I can't find the right player to start with. Let me put McGinn then. So, right, one more thing I'd like to say on this situation is I feel better with McGinn in that position than the double pivot anyway. Yeah. So I think, yeah, if it is Kamara, perfect. If it is Dendonka, okay. But then that leads us to one more position, doesn't it? And I'm a bit torn on this one because I like the thought in my head of having a pacey winger out there because I think he can... If you're saying that when Spurs go forward and their average position show you that they've only got three at the back, they've got two wing backs that have gone really bombed on, there's space there for a winger, isn't there?
Yeah.
And I just think Bailey really does occupy a bit more width than Buendia. But then I feel harsh that if Bailey starts, then Buendia's coming out. So I'm in a bit of a predicament, really. But I'd say I'm favouring pace more than cutting inside. Where are you at?
Same thinking as you, mate. Exactly the same thinking. When Bailey picked up the injury, I feel like that's when our form has sort of suffered. Now, before, put my tin hat on, before everyone dives in, right, his form wasn't very good. It wasn't very good. He was lacking any confidence whatsoever. But what I do feel is we've missed that positional position, that distraction out wide. You know, defenders are defending against us at the minute with everything right in front of their 18-yard box. It's become a little bit too clustered with Ramsey, Buendia and McGinn all sort of operating in the same space. Now, when Bailey was in the team, although not contributing highly, it was still opening up space and areas and options to pass. So I want to see that back against Tottenham. And like you say, there's going to be space on the wings. There's an image that I shared on Twitter as well, and it showed you where Tottenham sort of concede possession. And wings were one of them. So you've got to look, you know, you've got to look at Moreno and Bailey to really stretch them and really get in behind them fullbacks bombing on. So I personally think I'd like Bailey so McGinn can break into that like 10 role along with Ramsey without it being too clustered and too tippy-tappy maybe. You know, just for us to be more like counter-attacking swifter. So that, yeah, that's my thoughts behind it.
Yeah, I think I like the look of that. I think I'm happy with that. But you know, if it's Buendia, then fine. If it's Dendonka, then fine. But I think that has a nice feel to it for me.
You could put Buendia where Ramsey is, even though again for this game, I would like Ramsey's running, his pace, his ball carrying right behind Porro there. But there's an option for Buendia to go there. And he had one of his better games in the last four or five. So it would be harsh for him to get dropped. But I don't think Unai Emery will carry prisoners when it comes tactically to this game. He's going to pick the best players for this game on a game-by-game basis, which we haven't had that option, have we, for the last four or five games. Now we're sort of getting options. Like you've nailed this predicted lineup for the last four or five weeks because there's been nobody else. And now all of a sudden... we've got options, you know, Coutinho's in the mix as well. So there is plenty of options and it's good. It's good for us, isn't it? Because I think we're going to have this every game next season, especially the way our transfer links are going. We're going to have a lot of selection to choose from.
If that spicy Asensio comes in, then that would just be an absolute dream. So that's our predicted lineup then. So we'll be back tomorrow for the press conference and then you'll have all of our match content coming across the weekend. So thanks everyone for watching. Up the Villa.
Up the Villa.